90-minute tape converted to 60 minutes length. Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is an interview with Harry Cheung on April 25th, 1979, by Gene Wong. This is interview number 12.
Mr. Cheung, where are
you? Your name is Cheung, not Cheung.
Cheung, mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Where are your parents from?
My father is from the province of Guangdong.
Mm-hmm. Do you know which district?
Yes, Huiping.
Huiping.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, let me caution you. You wrote Canton, didn't you?
Right.
Well, Canton is a city. The province is Guangdong.
Right.
You see? Mm-hmm. So Canton has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Okay, so mm-hmm. They're from Guangdong province.
Right.
Huiping
right.
District.
Right.
Right.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Then now my mother is from Sunbuk, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a Hong Kong born girl.
Hong Kong born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And did your mother and father marry in China? And
no, they married in Hong Kong.
Married in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And when did they come to the States?
I would say in 1914.
Mm-hmm. And where did they settle?
They made a stop en route in Los Angeles. My
uh-huh.
father was bound for, it is unclear from the relatives who tell me this, either for Kansas City or points on the Atlantic coast where he had a business.
Uh-huh. What kind of business was it?
I believe he had a restaurant, although he had business interests in Oakland.
Mm-hmm. How did it come about that he was coming, going to Kansas City or East Coast for the restaurant? Do you know any more about
that? Because that's where his business was. See, he went back to Hong Kong to get a wife.
Uh-huh.
And that was my mother.
Uh-huh.
Say, and with her being pregnant on arrival here, relatives prevail upon them to stay here until I was born.
Mm-hmm.
You say?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so he actually came over earlier.
Oh, yes. Much earlier.
Yeah. Do you know around when he came?
No, I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
You see, he passed away when I was 6 months old.
Oh. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, so where were you born?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Okay. And when was...
Pardon?
When?
1914.
Okay, so you... lived in Los Angeles since?
Not all my life. I spent some time, I think it's only fair to tell you that following the death of my father, my mother took me and the body back for interment in the family burial ground in Huiping. Following that, she stayed with her relatives in Hong Kong until I was 2 years old, at which time we returned, and we lived in San Francisco. I know we lived there during the first war,
mm-hmm.
because she spoke of it. And I think it may be interesting to note that she was a seamstress with a company called the China Toggery. China Toggery, you know togs?
Yeah.
Toggery. on right on Market Street.
Really?
And that is the forerunner of the National Dollar Stores.
China Toggery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is interesting.
You see?
Yeah.
Because I remember in the back, as a child, playing among the bolts of cloth, and then to be taken out to lunch by the brother, Zhou Xiong, who is the founder of the National Dollar Stores and also the sewing factories in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
you see. And my first impression of the American side of life was eating in what I now remember to be a cafeteria, because this man, who was very kind to my mother and me,
mm-hmm.
used to take two trays, and we had to sit in chairs with the arms, arm tablets, like in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first impression I remember of being down in Market Street. And we lived there for I don't know how many years, until in the early 20s, my mother and I came down to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. And what did she do in Los Angeles?
She was a housekeeper for a Japanese family with whom we lived. And as a result of which, I became very fluent in the Japanese language. I grew up with it. And I went to school with the family's children. And then I graduated from high school in Los Angeles in 1932.
Which high school is it?
Polytechnic, which is now a Trade Tech College after Washington and Grand Avenue.
And so your elementary school was in
Los Angeles, in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Los Angeles. Yeah, you know, I attended Commodore Stockton School. You know, the
yeah.
first segregated school,
mm-hmm.
all Chinese,
mm-hmm.
and also St. Mary's, you know, which was a Catholic school, you know, which still exists, I think, out in San Francisco for a very short period, and we came down here.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I got out of high school, which was in the depths of the Depression, I went back to Hong Kong at the age of 18 and stayed with my relatives there, studying Chinese, and returned to Los Angeles in 1935. Then I went to college. I went to Santa Monica City College for 2 years, and then went to Pomona, graduated in 39, and then went to Columbia for my master's, getting that in 1940.
What did you study at Pomona?
Political science,
mm-hmm.
economics.
And how about at Columbia?
International law. I was one of the graduate scholars of that year in the School of International Law at Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1940, I was married, returned to Los Angeles, and failed to find employment. However, while I was still in New York, before my return, I was introduced by my professor at Columbia to a classmate of his who was executive vice president of Universal Trading Corporation, which later turned out to be the purchasing and sales agency of the Chinese National Government during the war. So in late September of 1940, I returned to New York with my wife and worked with Universal Trading until mid-July July, I believe, of 1943, when I entered the service.
Mm-hmm.
And in the service, I was assigned, I was in the Navy, assigned to OSS, and subsequently found myself in Kunming, the western part of China. At the end of the war, I returned to New York, rejoined Universal until its closing as a result of the communist takeover of the mainland. And in 1952, I joined Stein Holland Company, importers and manufacturers in New York. But returned in 1953 to Los Angeles because we had no roots, you know, back in New York.
Mm-hmm.
At that time when we were living in New Jersey. And since returning in 1953, I worked for a company called Farrell Martin Company in East Los Angeles. As a purchasing agent. They are still, I believe, manufacturers of paints and specialties of that sort. And because I had knowledge of the paint industry from my days with Universal Trading, which imported for sale in the American market Chinese tung oil, which later became a strategic material completely taken over by the government. In 1955, I went to work for the Los Angeles County Superintendent of Schools.
Doing what?
As Chief of Certification and Retirement. Later, Chief of Budgets and Reports. And in 1963, I went to work for the Los Angeles City Schools as Supervisor of Contractual Relations. In 1969, when the junior colleges separated from the Los Angeles City Board of Education and became autonomous, I went with the community colleges, as they are now called, and became first Director of Contractual Relations, then Director of Special Projects, and then I recently retired as Director of Business Operations.
Mm-hmm. So you've done a lot of traveling back and forth and had quite a
yes,
career.
Even when I was working back there, I returned frequently to visit my mother, who was not well, and I was out here during her terminal illness. She died of cancer, I think, in 52.
Oh, she went back to...
No, she never went back.
She stayed in
Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. Uh-huh. Stan told me that you were one of the first Chinese to enter Pomona College.
That isn't quite so, for the reason that Pomona College, at the time when I was there, was headed by a Dr. Edmonds, who previously had been the president of the forerunner of Lingnan University in Canton, which at that time was called Canton Christian College. And because of that connection, there were many Chinese exchange students through the years. Not many, but one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not know whether any local Chinese or American-born Chinese attended Pomona in great numbers prior to my time. But at the time I was there, I was the only Chinese student there from this country. But there was one other Chinese student while much senior to me in age, was 1 year behind me. He, interestingly enough, had served in the Chinese in the Canton provincial government and highly regarded by its governor. And when the governor was deposed, he was asked to accompany the family for a European tour, which was the thing for deposed Chinese officials during that period. However, not having finished his education, he asked the governor if he might not be permitted to come here to study, and the money that would have been spent on him for the trip be used to take care of his family over there and for his use over here. So I met him there, and we became very, very close friends to this day.
Mm-hmm.
He has since, interestingly enough, he followed me to Colombia a year later. He was a year behind me. And because of the climate not being conducive to his health, he got his graduate degree. He went to the University of Denver and got his graduate degree there, returned to Hong Kong, and with one of the sons of the ex-governor, founded a bank in Hong Kong, which did not do well. Then he subsequently taught school in Hong Kong and retired at the age of 70, and shortly thereafter immigrated over here. And his entire family is with him, excepting for one son who's on the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him a year ago, and those were the only two Chinese at the time that I was there, excepting that when I was a senior, two other Chinese local boys came because I was there. Neither of them finished there. One went into the war and was killed at Anzio. The other one did not finish. I don't believe he didn't finish because he couldn't scholastically, but it was even in those days a very expensive school, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And had not been for the fact that I was on scholarship and grants, I might not have been able to go there,
mm-hmm.
you see. And then also too later, there were two Chinese refugees' children there, a brother and sister. And that's about the extent of the Chinese population there.
Mm-hmm. You were one of the first Phi Beta Kappas too, I think Sam mentioned it.
I don't know that I will. I think you might conclude that, because I didn't see any brilliant Chinese students there during my time, you see. And Pomona's, as I recall, was a pretty tough school,
mm-hmm.
you see. And I was in the honors program, and that helped. And it also helped me get my scholarship to Columbia subsequently, without which I don't know what I would have done otherwise.
What was the enrollment at Pomona?
Under 1,000.
Under 1,000.
Yeah, it was at that time, and I presume it still is, considered one of the finest, you know, small schools in the country. Small meaning under 1,000. And the enrollment at that time was around about 900, plus or minus.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the mortality rate of students at Pomona was pretty high.
Mm-hmm. Your old classmate, where did he settle in the States?
Which one is that?
The one who followed you to New York.
Oh, he's in San Francisco now.
He's in San Francisco.
Yes, but he's a native Chinese. He's a Chinese, so-called. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Speaking
of... He's a product of missionary schools in China. And he did attend, I think, a year at Lingnan when Dr. Edmonds was still there, you see. And then he left school and joined the Guangdong government,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Speaking of Chinese, did you speak Chinese with your mother at home?
I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing I can't understand is this hue and cry for bilingual teaching of Chinese, you see, because when I was a youngster, the minute I closed the door behind me, after entering the house, we spoke nothing but Chinese.
Sign, of course.
Both. There because my father was Seiyup,
mm-hmm.
but my mother was Samyup,
mm-hmm.
you see. And so I came in contact with Seiyup people as well as Samyup people. And then while I was in Hong Kong, naturally, I spoke nothing but Samyang, you see. Now, I spoke English in school, I spoke Chinese at home. So, I just can't understand this present-day hue and cry for bilingualism, you see. I don't know why a youngster can't be brought up to be fluent in both his spoken language as well as in English. Whereas today, there are many young people in whom I come in contact who cannot understand Chinese, the spoken Chinese, you see, and I don't know how good their English is, you see.
Well, I think what happened is that a lot of people in your generation too, their parents tried to force them to speak Chinese at home, but they refused.
Well, it's not a matter of forcing, because there would be no communication otherwise, you see? And this particular individual of whom I'm speaking is the current product of a strictly Sayup family whose mother doesn't speak one word of English, you see? Now she's fluent in Sayup, but she can't understand a word of Samyup, which is understandable too, you see? And then another individual, a recent graduate, I think, of UCLA, you know, teaching school, and she was hired primarily with the idea that she could be into the bilingual program. She doesn't speak a word of it. She was born in Hong Kong and then raised over here, you see? And their parents speak nothing but Chinese. And I fault the Americanization of the Chinese for that. You see? And, well, of course, I'm rather a dichotomous individual. At work, if you never saw me, nobody thinks I'm Chinese. You see? I think like a blue eye. I talk like one. You see? And then when I'm with the Chinese, they do not believe that I was a native-born Chinese. I must be from over there because of the way I talk and my philosophy that I express with them, you see.
Well, you've had a couple of years in Hong Kong, too, and
yes, that's
studied
true.
Chinese
that's
in
true.
Hong Kong.
That's
I
true.
Think that makes
that's
a
true.
Difference, too.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Did you study in Chinese school here, too? Or?
Oh, yes. It was, you might say, de rigueur for all Chinese families to send their children to Chinese school. And I remember you got out of school during the day at 2:30, and we always had dinner at 4 because Chinese school began at 5 p.m. and got out at 8 o'clock. And then on Saturday it was 9 to 12. We all went.
How many years did you go?
Oh,
roughly?
A couple of years, I guess. While I was in San Francisco, you know, that I can remember.
Did you enjoy going to Chinese school?
Yes, it was kind of fun because everybody went. You see, if you didn't go, then you were not with the kids, you see? And I suppose you went. I enjoyed it as much as any kid enjoys school, although the discipline was rough. Committing everything to memory, reading aloud, and writing with a brush and ink, you know, which was vastly different from what you had experienced during the day, you see.
Of course, if you didn't have to go to Chinese school, you could have spent your time playing baseball and doing other things like that.
I don't recall much baseball playing in San Francisco, Chinatown in those days because there was really no place to play it. Now, you know that park called Portsmouth Square? All right. I remember what a big thing it was when the city put in swings and slides. You know. But as far as a baseball diamond, I don't remember any. Because of our age, all we could do at the YMCA was watch the bigger boys play tennis. But I don't ever recall any Chinese boy at that time having a ball and a bat or a glove as kids today of that age would have.
What kinds of things did you do for recreation as a youngster?
go to movies, I remember, because it was only 5 cents. And I don't, oh, one of the things that the kids used to do, which I took part also, was pooling our money, buying yams, and finding an empty lot to build a fire and roast them. That was the big thing. That was the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Playing with marbles, no. Tops, no. Scooters, yes, because the hills were good, you know, coming down. And most kids had scooters.
Mm-hmm.
As far as playground activity as we know today didn't exist for the Chinese children that I can recall. In fact, when I go back up to visit Chinatown, the recreational facilities available today within the confines of Chinatown are no greater than they were when I was a kid. The same tennis courts are there at the Y,
mm-hmm.
and then they did put up a playground right above Waverly Place off of Sacramento Street. But they didn't have open space. They had swings and stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing, you know. But insofar as organized sports, you know.
Mm. How about home life, family life? Was there Chinese activities, Chinese music, or
for Chinese activities was going to the Chinese opera when troops would come over. I remember the old Crescent Theater on Broadway, which is now demolished, and I think where the Royal Hotel is,
mm-hmm.
it was there, and all the families would go with all the kids, and the kids used to get in free, and they would get bored and go out and play out in the lobby, waiting for the thing to be over and go home. And as far as social activities of the families were concerned, it was a matter of visiting back and forth, having dinner in each other's home, and that was about the extent of it, because we were not well-to-do, so I don't know what the wealthy people did, but there were so many home industries in which the families of the Chinese participated. I remember, it was quite prevalent that a family would engage in shelling a cooked shrimp from which they would, they get the meat of the shrimp,
mm-hmm.
dry it,
mm-hmm.
and then export it to China, you see? And that's where all the hamai comes from,
uh-huh.
you see? And that was a big, big thing until the sewing factories came into being.
Mm-hmm.
And other than playing around the streets with the kids, running in the summer, running after the horse-drawn ice wagons, they pick up a piece of ice, you know, to suck on,
mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. That was, I can't remember anything in my mind that impressed me enough to think of now.
How about Japanese things, since you looked for the Japanese family, did you?
The Japanese, locally here, of course, also did a lot of visiting. And here, by that time, there was a lot of baseball. And in fact, the eldest son of the family with whom we lived was very active in baseball. But he was older than I was, and we had a lot, there was a lot to do at school. We played the various things in season, marbles, tops, skating, you know, that sort of thing. But nothing too special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think my childhood was very eventful in that regard.
Mm-hmm. How many years did you live with this Japanese family? Roughly, it was from.
Let's say 24 to about 5 or 6 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, you and your mother.
Yeah,
found
we would then.
Your
yeah,
own place?
Yeah, we got our own place.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Not here, no. I have a half-sister in, who's now in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you were younger, did you associate mostly with Chinese or Americans? Or?
Now, when I was young in San Francisco, of course, they were all Chinese. And then when I came to Los Angeles, we were apart. We lived in Japanese town. As a matter of fact, when I went to school with the Japanese kids, and it was to a Japanese parochial school, and I was the only Chinese there, so all my friends, acquaintances, schoolmates are Japanese, until I went to high school.
Mm-hmm. And so then when you got to